can rewind it. You can rewind it. You can rewind it. Rewind. You can rewind it. You can rewind it. We gon' take it back to the future, over the top. E.T., Gremlins, RoboCop. Bring it back a couple minutes to when I was 10. Dusting off my favorite movies, gonna watch them again. Then VHS, yeah, we'll give it a crack. Do they hold up? Are they totally whack? Brock and Alexa, give it a play. Tell you to rewind it, throw it away.
Hello and welcome to You Can Rewind It with Alexa and Brock. This is the show where we watch our favorite movies from our childhood. Then we discuss, dissect, and decide, do we still like them, and would we rewind them and watch them again? I am Alexa.
I am her pit crew chief, Brock.
Ooh, so I would be the driver. And
you are the driver, and I am Robert Duvall.
Well, I mean, you've seen me drive, and you're kind of critical, so I'm surprised that you just made me the driver.
So, we are reviewing 1990s PG-13 Days of Thunder.
Yep. Feel the thunder. Tell us, what is this movie about?
A young hotshot stock car driver gets his chance to compete at the top level.
That's it, huh?
That's pretty good.
Yeah, that's to the point. Starring your favorite actor of all time, Tom Cruise.
I'm going to go into why I don't like him. I figured it out.
Okay.
Okay, so in the lead role of the kind of Hollywood, you know, driver, Cole Trickle is Tom Cruise, who was in, you know, Top Gun, Jerry Maguire, A Few Good Men.
He did not look like a Cole at all.
Or a Trickle.
He doesn't look like a Cole Trickle. I'm sorry. I don't buy that that's what his name is.
No. And he also handpicked this girl to be his love interest after a bunch of people turned it down, which I'll go through. But Dr. Claire Lewicki is Nicole Kidman, who was in The Others, and Cold Mountain, and it's Nicole Kidman. She's in a bunch of things. And I believe Harry Hodge is his name, if that's the right pronunciation. Robert Duvall.
Huh. How can you mess up Harry Hodge? How do you mispronounce that?
H-O-G-G-E.
Oh, okay.
A little hoagie, a little hoggy.
Okay.
It might be Jose. I don't know.
Okay.
It's the Dutch version of Jose or Joseph.
Okay, I gotcha.
Okay.
I gotcha.
Who was in The Godfather, obviously. The Apostle in Apocalypse Now. I can't say that.
He's a good actor. I'm sorry, I'll let you finish your list there.
But I totally agree with you.
What? That he's a good actor?
Yes. Oh, I mean, okay. It's just on another level.
Mm-hmm.
You got Randy Quaid playing the role of the owner, Tim Dalen. Dalen. You know him from all the vacation movies, Kingpin, Brokeback Mountain. And then you have Russ Wheeler, the young upstart nemesis, played by Cary Elwes.
With no accent in this one.
No.
No.
I just love Cary Elwes, though.
Yeah, it was weird hearing him talk with no accent. I guess that is an accent. Technically, an American accent is an accent, too.
Yeah, true. So he's in The Princess Bride. Robin Hood, Men in Tights, and the Saw franchise.
Or movie. He is?
He was in Saw 1, at least. I never saw those movies yet.
No. I never saw Saw.
You got Rowdy Burns, who played by Michael Rooker, who was in Guardians of the Galaxy and Tombstone, but I loved him in Mallrats.
Oh, I didn't realize that was him.
He was the father in Mallrats. He got stink palmed.
Oh, and I didn't realize that was him from Guardians either. No. Now I do. Now I realize it. Okay.
And then last I want to mention is Brooke Bretherton, played by John C. Reilly, who was in Walk Hard, Wreck-It Ralph, and Talladega Nights. So he's in two NASCAR movies. Not a lot of people can say that.
Well, I feel like now's the time that we should just let people know that we are not, like, NASCAR fans, and we're really not that knowledgeable.
Are you serious?
Well, I'm not.
Thank you.
Well, what about those questions I asked you and you kept saying you didn't know during the movie?
Don't mention that.
Okay. So, is it fair to say, though, that we don't really watch NASCAR?
No, we do not.
We can't even say it. The only time I think I went through, I may have watched one time, and I am entertained by the logos and the stuff on the car. Like, that's kind of cool. It would be way boring if they just had, like, a number.
I totally agree. But because of the logos in NASCAR, this is the... This movie has more product placement than any movie in the world.
Mm. Only other NASCAR type racing, I don't even know if it was NASCAR, but like race car type movie that I liked growing up and that I saw many times, way more than this movie, and loved dearly, was Kenny Rogers in Six Pack.
Not a movie.
That
of
was
mine.
Like one of my favorite movies of all time. And they sing like Rocky Top, it's all these kids, and there is Pit Crew.
I did not see that as a kid, but I saw some of that with you as an adult, and I can see why you like it.
Yeah.
That's right up your alley.
So that was, like, my exposure to racing and stuff.
See, I never... I can't really tell you another race movie I like.
Except for the Will Ferrell one, but that was after this.
Yeah, I'm talking...
Well after.
As a youth, though. Right, it was like, okay. This was my introduction to race car movies.
You could really see... In this movie, how fast they were going.
Yeah. When a lot of the filming that was done was at 120 miles an hour.
Okay.
Still seems pretty fast.
I know. The shots of the close-up shots, well, then that's where you see it.
Then they actually had two cars with cameras go into the race, stay, like, behind the pack.
Mm.
But to get race scenes with the pack and everyone out there and...
I thought they did an incredible job with that.
The camera work was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that made this movie like a blockbuster in my mind. Like, it would have gone to obscurity if it wasn't for the camera work.
I see Tom arrive on his motorcycle. And I should say Cole, even though I don't think that Cole could possibly be his name. But when you first see Cole, he basically has, like, no experience, like... With those actual cars. He had experience doing something else. That went over my head. I don't even know. Some other type of racing. And... What?
No, it's just funny.
But he just comes in... I mean, this is just the character that he plays. It's almost... Sometimes I feel like he just plays the same...
Thank you.
He does this the is same Maverick. For every character.
This is Maverick. This is Cocktail. This is... Like, Risky Business, he's the this is A Few Good Men, the cocky, young upstart.
Yeah, he's just like, yeah, I can do it. I won't embarrass you.
Well, and I feel like he doesn't do subtle very well at all.
Mm. Right, no.
Even as, when he tries to do subtle, he does it so intensely that it's so intense. He cannot pull off subtle. He can't just look calmingly, it's like lasers through you. Right through you. Sneering. Everything's got a sneer. I think he's trying to control every facial tick at once, and he's so into it. He's probably a fine actor, but it drives me insane to watch him try to portray a role. And then he's up against Robert Duvall, who is like a next-level actor. I feel like just an amazing actor.
You know, there's a lot of roles that he's had that I felt like I believed... him to be that person or that character, but in this one, I just didn't buy it. Like, I didn't, and it wasn't just his name. Like, I just didn't buy that he was a NASCAR driver. And I also really didn't like his hair. He was in desperate need of a haircut in this movie.
Yeah, that might be more of the 1990 hair going down.
Maybe, but he had some shaggy hair, and I didn't think it looked good on him.
Tom Cruise's character, Cole Trickle, is based loosely on Tim Richmond.
Don't even know who that is.
He was a young NASCAR hotshot who comes in. He was a wine and dining playboy. Ended up dying from complications of AIDS.
Okay.
Because of his partying, which is like the 80s, he lived it up. But his pit crew boss was Harry Hyde, who Harry Hodge in this movie is based off of.
Okay.
So they actually have similar things happen to their careers that you see in this movie. The ice cream scene couldn't have happened, right? It happened.
It did?
But it was Harry Hyde, but it wasn't with Tim Richmond. It was with a replacement driver when Richmond was out named Benny Parsons, but he wanted to pit and they were eating ice cream. The over revving your engine, that happened between Richmond and
Hodge.
He intentionally did it for whatever reason, but what I noticed in the closing credits, Harry Hyde, the pit crew guy's based off of, was a technical advisor for this movie.
Oh.
Thought that was cool.
It would be interesting to know from like a NASCAR, like someone who knows a lot about it, how realistic it was.
Well, obviously you don't get just slammed into the wall 4 or 5 times and then go for like complete random spin outs, regain control and just ride back on top in 3 seconds. That's Top Gun level stuff.
Right. It would just, the movie makes it more exciting, I think, because the races are like super long. And in the movie, the races are like a couple minutes long. Because they're like hours.
Right. It's hours. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a lot of endurance for those drivers. Where this is like just rough and tumble, fastest sprint you've ever seen in your life.
I mean, I'm sure it's fun to go. I just can't imagine. Like, it's hot.
It's a more open stadium.
Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if it's for me.
No, I've been. It's fun. I'm good.
That's cool that you got to go.
So, if you were entering a NASCAR event, you met a professional NASCAR employee, someone that works for like a pit crew, mm-hmm. and his name was something like Earnhardt, wouldn't you be like, huh, are you related to Dale Earnhardt?
Uh-huh.
Okay, in this movie, when Cole Trickle meets Bucky Bretherington, he's like, you know, I'm Buck Bretherington. He knows he wants to race in Daytona where Bucky's dad died. Unless he has no idea that he couldn't possibly be related to another Bretherington.
Mm-hmm.
Why wouldn't he be like, are you related to Big Daddy Bretherington?
Yeah, I don't know.
He acted like he was totally lost. Like, he had no idea what NASCAR was. He had seen it on TV a couple times.
Mm-hmm. When he talked about how he lost his ride, I don't think I would have understood that the first time I saw this.
No.
I didn't even understand it now. Like, I understood more of it. But, like, his dad was, like, a con man.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that part doesn't even fit. Like, I don't know what it has to do with anything.
I think there was a lot of writing going on, like, day of shooting. They went through a few writers, and they said that production went way longer, like, 6 weeks longer. It went way over budget, but they were doing, like, rewrites day of shooting. Well, so I felt like
that story did not fit.
I think that puts so much more pressure on an editor, where it's like, all right, good luck chopping this thing up.
Yeah, I felt like there was something missing there, and that never really got addressed.
No.
Again.
No, completely unnecessary.
Yeah. Also, okay, so they have this scene where they pull a prank on him after he wins.
With the state trooper?
Yeah, right.
Can't be legal. Impersonating an officer and pulling someone over seems to be a wee bit illegal.
Yeah.
I don't know how many state trooper offices are going to be like, yeah, we'll sign off. Here's a car. Good luck.
It was bizarre. It was funny because, like, if you hadn't seen the movie before and you didn't know that was a joke, that was kind of cute, I guess. And then later on when the doctor comes in and he hasn't really seen the doctor and she comes in, she's this attractive lady. That's kind of his first encounter with her.
That was funny, though.
That part was really funny. So it was setting up that joke.
Yes. Where she's, like, trying to check him, and he's like, is this what you really want? And he puts his...
Yeah.
Or her hand on his genitalia, and she's like, you know, no.
Yeah, yeah. And then they're just cracking it.
Oh, my gosh.
The scene I really liked was when he and Rowdy are leaving the hospital, and they can't...
The wheelchairs?
They're like...
Yes.
In the wheelchair, and they can't be like side by side. One of them has to be in front, so they start kind of racing each other, and they end up ditching the nurses that are trying to push them and taking off in the wheelchair.
That was hilarious.
That was really good. And I liked that one way better than when they're in the rental vehicles. That was just too much.
It's not funny when it's, like, so dangerous where you're killing civilians.
Someone. Yes. They could have run someone over. They could have hit that truck head on. for no reason other than the fact that they are, what would you even call that? Reckless.
Reckless endangerment.
Testosterone-driven maniacs. I mean,
it's so much bravado. It's like, I am the alpha beyond alphas. I can't let you beat me at anything.
But that was a scene that was kind of leading to their friendship, so.
Okay, but that friendship developed rather quickly.
It did.
And it's like, I hate you, I'm trying to kill you, I hope you die, and now we are buddies because of that. Yeah, we rented cars together, jacked them up, everything's been great, this is awesome. Best friends. In a matter of, like, months.
How'd they get on the beach, like, with...
Just...
Unrealistic. Yes. The wheelchair scene, cool.
Yes.
The rental car scene, I didn't like as much.
So some NASCAR drivers did do that. They were known for renting cars and just totally tearing it up, but it was in the 50s.
Hmm. Okay, well, I was going to call unrealistic on that, but I guess that kind of has happened.
Kind of. Wrong time period, though.
Oh my gosh, that was just crazy.
That's back when you rented a car. It's not like, you have a credit card? It's like, you sign here, your name is good as gold. Surely you'll return that car to us, right?
I would like to discuss Nicole Kidman.
Okay.
I thought she looked so beautiful with her curly hair, which I think is the way her hair naturally is, those curls.
Makes her look younger for sure.
And I thought, man, she looks so pretty. And there were so many shots of her with her hair blowing in the wind. I liked her. I thought she was believable as a doctor, actually. She's very talented.
Yes, I think she's a gifted actress for sure.
And it was nice to see her like this, I think. Like in the very beginning when she's just kind of starting out. And I thought she just looked beautiful.
Well, this movie got her the role. Again, Cruise picked her based off the movie Dead Calm. But this is
Which is after. A good movie.
Yes, it is. We need to check that out. Mm-hmm. That's after the following actresses turned down the role. Are you ready?
Okay.
SJP. Sarah Jessica Parker.
Right.
Madonna, Michelle Pfeiffer, Molly Ringwald, Julia Roberts, Sandra Bullock, Jodie Foster, Brooke Shields, Ally Sheedy, Sharon Stone, Meg Ryan, Heather Locklear, and Kim Basinger.
Oh my gosh, why did none of them want the role?
I don't know.
They didn't want to work with him?
I just wanted to see SJP in this role.
Is this the movie where they fell in love?
Yes, they started dating during this movie.
Okay.
And married 6 months after the production wrapped.
For me, from what I've heard about Tom Cruise, it's weird that someone would, the co-star would, like, go for him because of the way that he's rumored to be, like, he's so intense, like, jumping rope, and then he'd be like, jump rope, jump rope, jump rope, and then be like, I love you, baby. Like, it's like, how could you get in the mood after that?
Okay, but this is earlier Cruise.
Love scene with you, and he's like, I have to get into my zone. I would think he was insane.
Well, I hope so.
I think he's insane now, but, you know, I think that would be very bizarre. But you're right, maybe he wasn't doing that back then. Maybe he had more, maybe he was trying to smooth. Maybe he was on his best behavior when it came to her.
Can you see where he's not subtle at all?
I don't know, he probably was like, and I'm going to be your boyfriend! Before this movie's over.
But you get it. The way he acts, everything is so intense. Everything is so over the top, like the way he looks and every facial tick and everything about his... I do not like the way he acts because it's so over the top.
Well, I didn't like when he was trying to get Rowdy to go to the doctor. And the guy's like, no, man, I don't need to go to the doctor, blah, blah, blah. And then he comes in, he's got like a baseball bat that he finds somewhere in this guy's area where he's like, the guy's shooting pool, Rowdy's just shooting pool, like, I'm not going to go. And he has his baseball bat, and he was like, yeah, you're going to the doctor, bam, and he hits the table with the bat, like, out of nowhere.
No reason for that to happen.
It's like, man, okay, I'll go to the doctor. Have you not damaged my pool table?
Yeah, you're a guest in my house. You not ruin my stuff?
So intense. So intense.
So this film has, because you think Days of Thunder, NASCAR movie, it's going to be kind of a dumb action flick. This movie has two Oscar winners, and Duvall and Kidman, and three more nominees in Cruise, Quaid, and John C. Reilly.
Yeah.
It's a pretty good team of actors.
That's true. When Carrie Ells' character comes in, I always understood it to be, like, if you're in a team of drivers, you don't, like, try to sabotage the guy on your team.
My understanding, yeah, they try to help each other somewhat. I mean, relatively. Not like, that's my main goal is you don't finish.
I'm going to put you in the wall. I'm going to...
Really?
Like, that was weird.
I totally agree.
And there was no reason to do that, really. He had his own vehicle now. Like, what was... It wasn't like they were competing for the same car anymore. They had their own cars.
They both had their own car.
Why was he being such a D?
Because it makes for a better movie.
Yeah. They needed somebody to be the villain after Rowdy.
Yes. And...
I really thought someone died in this movie. Like, I thought I remembered someone dying, but that was not the case.
No. And you gotta love the scene where they do drive through, like, the smoke...
Oh, yeah, that was cool.
Because that's where it is true life or death going blindly into a turn.
Super scary. Super scary. And I do get kind of scared when I drive. And I was someone who got their license later on in life because I was scared. I got into an accident when I had my permit.
Yeah, babe, what'd you hit?
So... I was supposed to be turning into, like, a shopping center.
Yeah.
And there was, like, an old man with his dog in a car, like, parked in the shopping center. They were going to turn out. And I was going to turn in, but somehow I didn't turn, like, sharp enough. And I'm, like, rolling to the guy's car. And I have my foot off the gas, but I'm freaked out. I can't find the brake, so I'm just, like, frozen. And I'm, like, rolling into the guy's car, and I could still see the guy's face and his dog's face as I, like, roll into him. And my mom's, like, yelling at me, put on the brake! Put on the brake! And there's the guy just with his, like, mouth open, like, oh, my gosh, this idiot's going to hit me. Same with the dog.
The dog was saying it.
Yeah. And I just, like, rolled right into him. And I, like, of course, I hit, like, the axle. Like, I didn't, like...
You did massive damage. Yeah. It was a little bump at 2 miles an hour.
Yes. And I was in so much trouble. We were going to get Chinese food. It was not a good lunch
after that. You hit a car right before I met you in college. You backed into a parked car.
Yeah, I did. Luckily, I got out of that because, like, they weren't supposed to be parked over there.
Yeah, you illegally parked, so I hit you. I'll teach you a lesson.
I know. But I'm not a bad driver.
See, at 16, I had 7 wrecks in the first 6 months. I hit a mailbox. I hit
you didn't
two
hit
parked
a mailbox.
Cars.
You destroyed a mailbox.
I didn't destroy
a brick one.
It just.
Yeah. Did you have to rebuild the brick mailbox?
I did by hand.
Okay. So it was destroyed.
Oh, it was destroyed. Yes. I hit bricks like 20 yards up the road.
Didn't you tell your parents, like, you barely hit it?
I just barely hit it. They're like, look how far the bricks are.
What's the real story? You should just say now.
I was going...
They don't listen to the podcast.
I'm going to my buddy's house, and he's standing on his front porch, and he's dancing like an idiot. So I started dancing, honking my horn.
While driving, you were dancing?
Yes, and then I'm going to whip it into his driveway, and I realize I'm going way too fast. I try to whip it back out, and I nailed the mailbox.
Was it scary?
Oh, yeah, it was horrifying, and he's watching the whole thing.
How bad was the damage to the car?
My car was mystery metal. It was a 1985 Dodge Charger that went through, like, nuclear testing. It had, like, scratches and dents, but that mailbox was shattered.
Oh, my gosh.
I know, because I had to knock the concrete off every single brick.
Oh, well, that taught you a lesson.
And
you're a very good driver. You're a very good driver now.
Thank you.
And remember, you know, return the compliment.
You are such
a better,
so,
better driver.
You are
a better driver.
You are a better driver than either of our underage daughters.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much.
On Mario Kart.
Okay. So yes, that's our driving. Those are our driving experiences. I know what part I wanted to bring up. The part where the guy wins. What is that guy's character name? The bad guy. Russ Wheeler wins the race. And he's taking his little victory lap and he's holding the flag out. And Tom Cruise, like, T-bones him coming out of the pit.
But he goes in, he's like, I need 2 tires. Or give me tires. And they're like, why? The race is over. He's like, give me tires. then drives out, nails him.
And I asked you, has that ever really happened?
Supposedly, that has happened.
I can't believe that happened.
I don't have any details on how that's
happened. You're just going to have to take Brock's word.
I mean, come on. Why would I lie, right?
And I was thinking, I wonder, when Cruz won, I wanted to see that guy come and T-bone Cruz.
Do you think it's the ending of the movie?
Yeah.
Payback.
There was a part in here that I put, I did not understand. Oh, I know what it was. When he goes to, so Rowdy wants him to drive his car. I still don't totally get why.
So it loses sponsors, his car can make money.
Okay. And I guess he picks him because now they're BFFs. Yeah. Somehow. Which, you know what was the funny part, going back, is when he invites him over, they take him out on the boat, and then he gets kind of like, has started to have health problems. And so then, what is Nicole Kidman's character again?
Dr. Claire.
Dr. Claire, like, gives him a full, like, exam there, and then lectures him about not racing anymore, and we're both like, don't invite her over.
Well, I mean, she travels, it's like, we're on a motorcycle traveling to my buddy's house. Let me get my medical bag so I can do a full physical. Really?
Yeah, that was so great. But anyway, what was I talking about? Oh, so he has to go get Harry. Because they get fired after that whole incident of him taking out that guy in the
Yeah, you think?
The they all get fired. So he goes to get him and they, like, have a deep conversation, and I just was like, huh? Like, in the middle of us trying to watch the movie, our daughter, who's making muffins, is opening our oven door, and somehow it's making the loudest sound ever. Like, I open that thing all the time, and it never does
never
that.
Never does that.
And then she's closing it. We're like, what are you doing? I'm opening the... I was like... It never does that for us.
No.
How are you doing that? What are you doing? So that was very distracting. But that was kind of going on during the time of their whole thing. And then they almost get into a fist fight.
Yeah, that was kind of quickly.
I didn't understand that part.
It just escalated very quick. I'm not sure why. Obviously, he was insulting the fact that Robert Duvall was accused of...
Mm-hmm. Something.
Something with... You know, Buck Brotherton's dad's car at Daytona.
Mm-hmm. And they alluded to that in the beginning of the movie, that something was...
He ran away from an investigation.
Mm-hmm. Well, I do like the way Harry talks to the cars. I thought that was kind of cool.
I can see that. I could see you loving that.
I know, I did. I've talked to my car before.
No, you...
Yes. Yep. Well, they do the smooch, and I remembered this from watching it before, because his face is filthy.
Yes. He looks like he has a... Mm-hmm. He's been blasted in the face wearing goggles. I don't think so. I don't know.
And then they covered kiss, in black? And then she gets it on her face.
Not romantic.
I mean, no. I never can find dirt romantic.
If it'll give me a kiss, I'll go rub some crud on my face right now.
I don't like it. I don't like it. Okay.
Music. So, this is very similar to me to, like, what Top Gun is. It's just, like, an adrenaline movie. Mm-hmm. Great, like, camera effects and where they filmed it. But Top Gun had an amazing soundtrack.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't tell you any of the songs in this movie. When we watch the end credits and you're watching, like, all the songs in the movie, I'm like, I don't remember that. I don't remember that. I don't remember that. It had people like Cher, Madonna, mm-hmm. Tina Turner... I mean, it had huge people. Guns N' Roses. I don't remember any of that.
The one song I remembered was Gimme Some Lovin'. Gimme some lovin'. Yeah, that was towards the beginning when he was first racing. That was the song that was playing.
You're right. I do remember that.
And I thought it was a strange selection just because it's an older song. I mean, it wasn't bad, but it was like, I don't know, it didn't seem to fit, I didn't think.
I could see that.
I would say it's okay for kids. Like, it's PG-13. There's a little, seemed to be some side boob. Yeah, he got a little pervy with the Sweet and Low packs. Which I don't
that
like.
That was pretty minor.
Yeah, I don't like Sweet and Low anyway.
That turned you off Sweet and Low right there, that scene?
No, I don't like it. I don't like Sweet and Low, and I don't like Splenda.
I don't like anything.
Also called, called
Splendor.
Splendor by your mom.
Splendor by my mom, who does not live in the South anymore and hadn't lived there in forever.
Do you want regular? Do you want sugar? Or do you want Splendor? I don't like any of those. But I thought, is that product placement? Why not? There's so much in here.
That's the whole thing. I don't know what is true product placement, what they possibly could have got paid for, if anything.
But you're right. That was mild. That was mild, too.
Yeah. Very mild movie. Just some cussing. I think there was a couple, maybe one F-bomb, maybe two.
Yeah, at least one.
But nothing that horrible.
Yeah.
Well, there is one great quote from the movie, and it's rubbing is racing.
Rubbing is racing.
When he gets hit and he says he's knocking into me or slamming into me, he's like, mm-hmm. No, he's not doing anything other than rubbing. Rubbing is racing.
Is that true?
Oh, heck yeah. We'd be in high school, and one of my buddies would always bump tap.
I meant like NASCAR, not
no, buddies so.
Rubbing and racing.
But that would be something we would always yell. We would get to a stoplight, and my buddy Jeb would always bump the car in front of us. It was like one of our friends, not random people.
That's just great.
And he'd be like, rubbing is racing. Like, dude.
That's what he would yell out the window?
Yeah. Just yell out the window. He'd say it to me. It's this thing. Rubbing is racing.
Oh, my gosh. All right. Are you ready to pass judgment on this?
Let's let Miss Alexa go first this time.
All right. Thank you. I think I've been going first a lot, actually.
I don't think you have.
Okay. Well, that's fine. I don't care. So, I actually was looking forward to seeing this movie.
Why, though? For what?
Because I remembered that I liked it.
Okay.
So, and it was my, you know, kind of like Karate Kid was for me. It was like my
intro into NASCAR racing.
Yeah. Besides six pack. I think the reason why I am not going to give this a rewind is because there were so many loose ends that I got lost. I couldn't see him as this character. I liked Robert Duvall's character a lot, but even that didn't save. And I thought Nicole Kidman did just fine and looked beautiful, and I could kind of see them as a couple, and they had some chemistry there. You can kind of see that they liked each other. But overall, I just didn't think it came together for me. I loved the shots, the camera shots, and how close you, like, that part was really cool, but the plot of the movie was not there. They had the whole story together, and they had the good camera work, then I would give it a rewind, but the story, I thought, was weak, and a lot of it just didn't make sense to me. So, sadly, I'm not going to give it a rewind. I can throw it away, but I'm not going to give it a rewind.
Wow. All right, well, I didn't want to sway your opinion, because I felt like you were on the fence. I went into this thinking I was going to laugh it off, kind of a nothing but trouble for us, where we kind of just said, this is ridiculous. No. Way better than I thought it would have been. Way better than I remember. But too much going on. Like, they try to make this movie so over the top, where it's like every type of emotion with death or, you know, near death and your best friend's now dying, and you have love interest, and it's like so much going on. They're trying to get so much into one movie.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think the movie holds up. The camera work, again, amazing, amazing. Should have won Oscars. I should have checked it if it did. It's amazing. Mm-hmm. And I cannot recommend Days of Thunder, which is unfortunate. So no rewind for me.
Oh, but it was fun to watch.
It was actually very fun.
All right, so there you have it. No rewinds. Two non-rewinds. Oh. It doesn't happen very often. I just want to take a moment to say that I'm going to play a promo from my good friend Peter. He does a podcast called Podstalgic, where he does a similar thing to what we do, watching old movies. He has guests on a show, and I've done a podcast with him for Can't Buy Me Love. Brock and I also have a podcast on Can't Buy Me Love, and then I did one with Peter as well. So you should check out both of those, because everybody brings something to the table. Right, babe?
I agree.
And so recently we have done another podcast soon to be released on Blast from the Past, which Brock and I watched as well.
Yep.
And so check it out, and check out his podcast. He has a lot of movies on there, like a lot. He's been doing it for a long time, and he's just a really cool guy. And I'm going to play his promo.
Check it out.
Hey, people. My name is Peter, and I am the host of a movie review podcast called Podstalgic. Over there, I take a nostalgic look and rediscover movies new and old. And what that means is I may review movies I grew up watching, or other times I invite people on and we review movies I might have missed over the years. I also talk a little bit about what might be the number one hit on the radios at that time and other movies that released as well. So join me every week. You can find me on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play Music, and any other podcasting apps of your choice.
If you didn't already know, we are on social media. Okay, I'm on social media and Brock is with me. I tell Brock about it later.
I get to hear about it.
And so we have a Twitter, you can rewind it. A Facebook, you can rewind it. An Instagram, you can rewind it. And an email, you can rewind it at gmail.com. So feel free to send us an email or interact with us on social media. If you would like to leave us an iTunes review, that would be awesome. We're always happy to get reviews.
Absolutely. Unless they're bad.
This has been another episode of You Can Rewind It. And just remember, just because you can rewind it doesn't mean you should.
Thanks for listening.
Babe.
Huh?
Are you worried your parents might learn the truth about the mailbox incident?
No. I don't care. What are they going to do about it? Punish me? I'm 41.
You can rewind it. You can rewind it. Rewind. Rewind. Rewind it. You can rewind it. 4, 3, 2, 1.